Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to have a healthy view of what fearing the Lord is. And fearless is a word that we use here on the podcast all the time. My podcast is named Fearless. It's a word that's so important to me, but it can have different meanings in different stages of life and different connotations. But we, of course, are living in a hostile culture that's increasingly hostile to biblical truth, of course. And I wrote a Fearless Family devotional for those that didn't know. And it's a study on 1 Peter. It's only 14 days long, but it's to help equip you to spend daily time in God's word and to help you prepare your family to have a fearless faith. And Peter, of course, he wrote this short letter to believers who are living in turbulent times, just like we are today. And I will put a link in the show notes of how you can get your own copy, but it's also on my website, sissygrahamlynch.com. Hi, I'm Sissy Graham Lynch. Welcome to Fearless, helping you have a fearless faith in a compromising culture. Welcome back to another episode of Fearless. And today I am back at home recording. If you're watching on YouTube, which I was just talking to one of my best friends, she said her and her husband have been watching the YouTube channel, which I started laughing because it's just odd when one of your best friends tells you she's watching you on YouTube. But for the last couple of years, I've been recording out of my home, which you've been following me or maybe I've shared, I think I've shared it here on Fearless, that I live in about 900 square feet. My husband will say that's about 1,000. So 900,000, give or take a little bit. And so today I'm filming back at home. And I am excited because these days of filming in this tiny home, which I thought were going to be about 6 months, has been 3 years. And it's coming to an end. And I'm excited about that. But today we are going to be closing out the series, The Lies of Eyes. And as I was researching and prepping for this series, it quickly became clear to me that for so many of these quotes, so many of these things that we hear, and you probably know them, you even know more than me, like my work defines me, or I'm proud of myself, or you do you, I'll do me. And all of these that you hear, and there are so many more that we could have covered in these series, I just did the top ones that were kind of on my heart. But as I looked at all of them, there was something just really clear. And I wanted to discuss that as I close out this series. And the lies of eyes, in whatever form we hear it or see it, it misses the boat because it's all dependent on me. It's all dependent on my smarts and my wisdom. But without wisdom from above and without God's wisdom, we can't ever break the orbit of our own selfishness, our own self-centeredness, and our selfish ambition that the world teaches us. The world teaches us to look through that lens of our own self. And we can just never break from that if we're looking at the world to give us those answers, to give us that wisdom. Of course, we live in a world of opinions. We live in a world of individual truths that everybody's got their own truth. And we're constantly seeking wisdom in all areas of life, whether that's about our health, about our businesses, about fashion, about politics, or about our faith. And we're looking at all this for wisdom to inspire us, to help us to live a better life. But so much of the wisdom we seek from the world is all centered around I. How can I improve myself? How can I make it better for myself? How can I put myself first? And it's not a heavenly wisdom that we're seeking. And the difference between a heavenly wisdom and an earthly wisdom is that the earthly wisdom is I, or me, we're going to be the center of that wisdom. And James speaks about that in scripture. And James is the brother of Jesus. And what I love about the book of James is that it's practical. It's practical wisdom. Of course, James probably sat around the table with Jesus and walked with Jesus and heard the practical wisdom from our heavenly Savior. And that's why I love James, because here in Fearless, I often say I'm not a deep theologian here, but I just grew up with a mom and a grandmother that just gave me practical advice around the kitchen table. And I think that's why I love James. So much of it I speak about here on Fearless is probably rooted from the book of James. But James in chapter 3, starting in verse 13, discusses an earthly or demonic wisdom versus a heavenly wisdom. And it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder. Another word is confusion. And every evil practice. And you think of that right now, just all the disorder we have in this world full of wisdom, and we can search it anywhere we look. There's so much confusion and evil around us. And we're just bombarded by information. I mean, everywhere we look, it's all at our fingertips in this information world that we live in. And as we're trying to seek this better life for us. And the question is, who is wise in understanding among you? And of course, we chase wisdom in all kinds of spaces and places. YouTube, my husband's favorite. I've always caught him. He's YouTube certified and everything, because if he doesn't know something, he will YouTube it. But we go to blogs, you know, that get this younger generation going to TikTok for wisdom. Instagram, we have all kinds of influencers and people that we follow for different areas in our lives that we seek wisdom from. And podcast, like here on Fearless. And just a side note, I'm not telling you to stop listening to Fearless, but we have to have a discernment in who we're listening and where we're finding that. And that's my heart and my prayer. I mean, every time before I hit record on this new episode, each time is just praying for wisdom from above, that the Lord would guide my words. You know, and we're searching for information and wisdom on politics and makeup. A younger generation of girls that I meet who follow young men who identify as women to teach them to do their makeup, fashion, and all these self-help that we think are helping us, but there's no biblical foundation to that. And we even have pastors inside of our churches that are teaching. I've talked about that here on Fearless before, but maybe pastors who have put themselves in the center of it all and who are more worried about their book sales and how many clicks they're going to get on social media to grow their numbers. It's become a number game for them, and maybe are teaching more of a self-help perspective. But where do we go for wisdom, as James asks, and understanding, and how do we spot it? And James tells us, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. So the first is their conduct. We need to look at someone's life and how they conduct themselves. I often look at social media, and you can read between the individual posts in somebody's life and see how they're conducting themselves in public spaces. I know sometimes we might think it's judging, but it's discernment. We have to pray for that godly discernment that we can see it. I think so often, especially talking in the Christian world, you can see where somebody is struggling, yet they might be writing a book on the completely opposite subject. And that's just wisdom. That's discernment. So, and how can they be writing this book when you can kind of see maybe through their social media or other posts, they might be struggling with this? And how do you see, you know, pastors or Christian influencers conducting themselves? And I can remember two incidences, pastors that I followed on social media, and I could start seeing them posting things that, just doesn't seem to align with what that person used to be. Or you could just see certain signs that wouldn't align with scripture, and their behaviors began to change. And sure enough, the pastors that I was following on social media, both of them ended up losing their church. So we can have that discernment. That discernment comes from when we spend time with the Lord in prayer and reading scriptures and knowing God, that He can give us the Holy Spirit and that discernment when we're seeking godly wisdom, and then when to notice, that is a earthly demonic wisdom that doesn't match with scripture. The second is humility and meekness, as James says, and our culture does not value meekness at all. We don't value humility. I thought it was kind of funny a couple months ago during the NFL playoffs. I think it was Travis Kelce's dad that was telling the story of Taylor Swift being in the box, and that he was so impressed that she was cleaning up Dixie cups. And I just thought that story made headlines, because we live in a culture that we don't serve. There's no humility, and there's definitely no meekness in that. And that story was just so shocking to people. But good for her for cleaning up. The social media world that we're in, it's all about ourselves. It's to put ourselves first. And we all need those clicks, and people want to promote themselves. Everyone needs more clicks for more money. So that's why you have to be careful. What kind of wisdom are you seeking? Is this person just saying this because they got to say something so crazy and so outrageous that that gets them more clicks because it gets them noticed? Even in the political world, politicians, whether conservative or liberal, they might all say something so crazy, so out there that you might not even agree with, but they're doing it so that they can be seen, so that they can get noticed, that they can maybe seen having value. And ultimately, even in the church and Christian pastors since 2020, I've seen so many pastors who are willing to take a stand, which I'm grateful for, taking a stand for freedom and for our rights. But then it's also a turnoff to me when I see sometimes the way that they do it, that it might not be done in humility, because once again, they need those followings and those clicks on social media. So social media has made it really difficult, actually maybe easier sometimes, to see the truth in people, to be able to spot that earthly wisdom. So just be careful, even though they're a pastor or a Christian conservative, they're taking a stand. If it's not done with humility and meekness, that's not going to be a heavenly wisdom that we're seeking. But even when we look in the churches and ministry spaces, there's questions to ask. Are these people, is there a serving heart? Is there an attitude that doing certain tasks is beneath them? Or do they have humility in service? What if someone from the pulpit is too flashy with their belongings and accessories? And the way of humility says that we are careful with how we represent Jesus, and to remember that ultimately, that that's who we serve, and that that's why we serve others with humility. And I think for me, that can always be such a quick turnoff. And I don't say names and specific names here on Fearless, because that's how my grandfather and my father have taught me. But once again, in the social media world, it can kind of give us a view and a window into people's heart with them not even realizing it. Remember, there's this Christian influencer that I follow. And I even hate saying that word, Christian influencer, but I just say that because that's the term we use in our culture. But I was watching this Christian leader, I should say, and they were posting, they were going to speak somewhere, and they were sitting in first class, and they wanted to teach people plane etiquette. And they were kind of saying, if you're sitting in the back, you know, behind those see-through curtains, you're not supposed to use the first class toilets. And I just thought, how snobbish of somebody to sit up in first class, but then tell those of us in the back that you can't go to the bathroom up there. So it's things like that that you can notice that would give you discernment and recognizing that's not humility when somebody's teaching and speaking, and that shows kind of somebody's true self. So maybe social media is good because it kind of gives us that lens to see things differently. But in Romans 12, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with a sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." And then James goes on in verse 14 and 16, the nature of a worldly wisdom. And the nature of worldly wisdom is bitter jealousy. It's selfish ambition, he says. And both of those, you know, that self-seekingness, both of those, the I is the center. The I myself is the center of all of that. The bitter jealousy, the selfish ambition, my goals, my job, my agenda, all that wisdom we seek in the world, the lies of eyes, it's all about me, me, me. And we can often deceive ourselves. I believe that we think we're doing it for the right reasons. Let's think about the therapeutic age, the modern therapy. And I've had an episode on that and how to receive and to spot good therapy and godly therapy in different times of our lives. But think about the therapeutic age. They are the masters at affirming a person that it all comes down to them. They got to keep themselves happy, put themselves in the center of their world. Think about the political worlds that we see and the political theories. I think you know where I stand on these, but let's think of liberalism, where it's my body, my choice. But let's think about the conservative point of view. It's my money, my choice. Don't touch my money, which I'm not saying I might disagree with that, but it all comes down even to our political theories about me, 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 instead of serving with humility and meekness to the world around us. And 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And those false prophets can come in so many different forms in our lives now, especially in this information world, but to test those spirits to see whether they're from God. But wisdom from above. And how do we spot a heavenly wisdom? And James answers that in verses 17 through 18. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." First, it's pure. It's the opposite of self-seeking. It's peaceable. A heavenly wisdom is not causing strife. I think I have a problem so much in the world that we're in even in the Christian sphere on social media, of Christian pastors attacking one another. Whether their point might be right or not, it's how it's done. And scripture gives us biblical ways to confront those that are wrongdoing or false teaching. We can call that false teaching. What I hate is the attacks on others that, because once again, they got to say something so crazy and so outlandish, they're going to go after this person so they can get more clicks and more notoriety and become more famous. Once again, that could be a whole nother subject on itself on an episode of Fearless. Not that we can't call out false prophets. I just don't like the strife. And it's not about what I like anyways. A heavenly wisdom is peaceable. Heavenly wisdom is not causing strife. And once again, I've learned that from my father and my grandfather. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's reasonable. It's unwavering. And there's no hypocrisy in it. So when seeking a heavenly wisdom and to be able to recognize when it's not a heavenly wisdom, we can see that often, that discernment, the Holy Spirit can give us that discernment. But our eyes also have to be open to what's in front of us. I can remember this Christian leader, Christian artist came out after 2020, just very angry and outspoken about things that were very personal to him. But when that person was speaking, you could tell that they were still full of anger, that God hadn't healed them from that situation in their life, that they still needed time in their lives to allow the Lord to heal their heart. And that can take time. So to be careful when we're listening to those kind of voices, are they speaking from anger and strife and hypocrisy? Just to have that discernment and to pray that the Lord would give us that discernment to recognize whether it's an earthly or demonic wisdom. And James said it in scripture, it says, let it be shown by their good works. In Matthew 7:20, Jesus says, by their fruits that you will know them. You will know them with that wisdom of the gentleness and the kindness that it comes from, that it's not going to be self-centered and self-seeking, but it will be done with humility and meekness. And as we close, and as we get ready to close this series, The Lies of Eyes, what is the solution? And James gives us the solution in James 1:5, that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So in seeking wisdom, you first ask God. You don't go to those social media influencers. You don't go to those little memes that are going to give you a pat on the back and boost up your spirit. You go to your Heavenly Father. He's the one that's going to boost you up and lift you up. And he's going to be the one that encourages you and restores your soul when you need it. It's not going to be some coffee cup with a saying on it or something that you bought to hang on your wall at Home Goods. But the Lord will be your encouragement. So in seeking wisdom, be careful. The world around us is filled with a demonic wisdom. And we need to be praying that we have a discernment to recognize that. And if the wisdom that you find in any of that, no matter who's telling you, whether it's a friend, whether it's a pastor, a therapist, or somebody on social media, if they're telling you to put yourself first, I think that should be a warning sign. Because even Jesus Christ, he didn't put himself first. He surrendered his life. He came to serve, not to be served. So if somebody's beginning to tell you that you're the center of it all, that's a red flag. I'm thankful we live in a time where we have so much information at our fingertips. There are a time to study and to read books, to sharpen ourselves and to sharpen our minds. But there's also a time, I think, to put those books down, to put our phones down, to put social media down and open up God's word and to spend time with him and to seek his wisdom that is from above. And James also says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We have to draw near to God. We have to be reading his scripture, reading his word, so we can know him, know his characteristics, so we can understand and recognize his voice when he speaks to us. In this series, The Lies of Eyes, I discuss these lies that the world is telling us that I believe even as Christians, we sometimes can buy into, because we might think we're doing it for the right reasons and believing this stuff for the right reasons, to better our lives, to better our health, and to encourage ourselves, sometimes to give our own self a pat on the back. And I do understand that. There are times we do need encouragement. But the world will never fulfill us in that way. And that we have to be able to recognize the lies that the world tells us and to be able to recognize a heavenly wisdom and to seek God for that wisdom. Well, thank you for joining me on the Lies of Eyes series. If you missed any of those, I encourage you to go back. You can check it out on my website, sissygrahamlynch.com, or also anywhere that you find your podcast. And then on the next episode of Fearless, I have a good friend, Jay Warner Wallace, coming back to discuss a subject that maybe you think is surprising, but it's going to be Mormonism, because I see that influence on social media on so many outlets that I follow. And it's the fastest growing religion in our country and around the world. But many people, even Christians, might just believe it's a different denomination in Christianity. Well, that is false. So what do we need to know about it and the differences between Mormonism and Christianity?